Good morning, Rolling Hills family. My name is McKenna Tillotson. Today, Jen will be teaching on Matthew 11, 28 through 30. If you are able, please stand and join with me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, Rolling Hills. It is an honor for me to be here with you this morning. My name is Jen Gulbranson. I'm the student ministries pastor, and it is so much fun for me to be here. A few months ago, when our pastor, Bill, asked me to join the teaching while he was on sabbatical, I couldn't help but say yes, because what we're about to talk about today is something that is near and dear to my heart. I'm just so excited. Last week, Rick began our teaching series, Leading While Following Jesus. He did an amazing job explaining Philippians chapter 2 and how Jesus, the Son of God, came on earth to live a perfect life and die on the cross for our sins. That Jesus, even though he's God, came and embodied humility. That when we are invited into this leadership role, following Jesus, we are invited to think of others. He did a great job explaining what leadership is. It's influencing people. And when Jesus invites us to follow him, as followers of Jesus, we are all leaders. It's so exciting that Jesus invites us into this opportunity. We're going to continue on this leading while following Jesus. And we're going to even kind of continue on the humility track. We're going to be talking about being a humble life learner as we follow Jesus. Please pray with me. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to what you want us to see. That you would change our hearts, that we can't just help but follow you. May you bring your scripture to life for us today. And may we begin to discover what does it mean to be a humble life learner. We love you, and it's in your name. Amen. When I was 16 years old, we had a really fun youth group. Our youth group is pretty small, and so in the summertime, we would go from house to house, different people's homes in our youth group. In this one particular summer night when I was 16, we were at my friend Rachel's house. They were hosting youth group. And we were sitting in the backyard, because I was raised in Southern California, so you can kind of be in the backyard all the time. But this summer night, we were all sitting in her backyard. And in her backyard, just to kind of set the tone, was a cement patio. And dividing from the cement patio was an area where there was a grass area. And between these two areas was a short brick ledge. And many of us were sitting on that brick ledge as we were gathered together for youth group. When we were sitting there, our youth pastor gets up and says, "I have a really special guest for you tonight. An Azusa Pacific University professor of Bible is coming to share with us." It was my youth pastor's Bible teacher. And he was so excited for this professor to come and teach. That night, as I sat on that short brick ledge, that professor opened up scripture and taught a story from Jesus' life in a way I had never heard before. He opened up the scriptures and opened up my eyes to seeing the amazing things that God's word can show us. He started explaining what was going on in the culture of that day. He started explaining what Jesus meant when he said certain things. And I was profoundly changed in that moment when I was 16. That time in my life was almost 30 years ago. And when I look back at my life, I can look back at that summer when I was 16 and say, that was the beginning of a life of learning the scriptures. It was in that summer night that I was like, whoa, you mean God's word is not this boring book that I just can fall asleep to, that it's that exciting? And it was in that moment that has set me on this really wonderful learning journey. So what I want to invite us to today is I kind of want us to be thinking about that kind of imaginary brick ledge. And I want us to sit together, to open up Scripture, open up our eyes to the wonderful truths that God wants to teach us today. And that's what we're hopefully going to experience. Would you please join with me by turning to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. In fact, we're only going on these three verses. It's the only passage of Scripture I'm going to talk about. We might have it memorized by the end. You know, it's only three verses. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We're going to stay with these verses for a moment. See, when Jesus is sharing here, he is calling people who are weary, they're burdened, they're worn out, they're tired. Jesus is calling people, hey, if you feel like you don't have it together, come. If you feel like you can't take another moment, come. I feel like many of us in 2020 can feel very weary, very tired. It's time for this year to be over with. But then Jesus says this very funny statement. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn." Because Jesus describes himself as gentle and humble in heart. And then he says that when we learn, we get another gift, and that is rest for our souls. And then he describes that his yoke, it's easy, and his burden is light. Wow. This is exciting stuff. I'm so excited about this. Okay, so in Jesus' day, almost 2,000 years ago, this is an agricultural community, farming community. And when he talks about that word yoke, there is a visual that we can understand from what was going on in their farming community. Now, I'm a city girl. I've never really spent a lot of time on a farm. But from what I understand is a farming yoke, is this wood bar. And at the end of the wood bar is two loops. And in these two loops, they would place animal heads through those loops to join those animals together, like an oxen. And they would join them together so that the two of them would do the work of the farm together. And so here is a great picture of a yoke. Matthew, who wrote the book of Matthew, I believe also has another thing that he wants us to understand from this passage. Because he understood who he was talking to. He was talking to a Jewish community 2,000 years ago. And so there's another way I want us to kind of look at this passage. Another way for us, I want us to see it. You see, Jesus is a rabbi. A rabbi is a teacher. And in those days, a rabbi was absolutely and utterly revered. Oh, they had a lot of respect in their community. Now, a rabbi is different back in Jesus' day than what a rabbi is today. A rabbi was not an official position in the temple in Jerusalem. A rabbi in Jesus' day would be in a particular village, and in that village where a synagogue would be, that rabbi would teach the people within that village. And actually, they had a school of teaching that rabbi would lead the village children in. When at the age of five, a lot like kindies, kids, girls, and boys would enter into Jewish school, and they would be a part of Bet Sefer. And in Bet Sefer, they would learn the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in that 5 years of schooling, these kids would memorize the first five books of the Bible. Memorize. So at the age of 10, they would have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy memorized. I have a 10-year-old. He does not have the first five books of the Bible memorized. Neither do I. Now, at the age of 10, between 10 and 12, Bet Sefer would end. And then, if you were a girl, you were done with schooling. You went on to help mom, aunt, grandma in the home. And most of the boys did not continue in school either. But the best, the absolute most elite, would move on to Bet Midrash. If you were the most elite, if you were the best in school, you would go on in your schooling. And what you would learn in the next 2 to 3 years is the rest of the Hebrew text. So here is the Old Testament and New Testament. They would memorize this. All of it. Would have it memorized in Bet Midrash. And if you were the elite, and if you had it all figured out under your rabbi's teaching, you would move on. But most of the boys, when they reached 13, they were done. They would go on and do the family trade. It wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't a demotion. Most of the boys, that's what they were doing. They were going on to the family trade. But if you were the elite, the best of the best, you were invited to go on to the third stage of schooling, which is Bet Talmud. And in Bet Talmud, you would continue your learning with your rabbi. And if you had what it took, if you were the best, you would go to your rabbi and you would say, "Can I be your disciple?" Now, when the student said that, this is what they really were saying. "Do you think I have what it takes to be you? Do you think I've got it?" And if that rabbi thought that disciple had what it took about the age of 15, they would be asked to keep the Torah the way their rabbi kept it. You ready? They were invited to take the yoke of Torah of their rabbi. The yoke was how the rabbi interpreted God's word. The yoke of that rabbi was how they lived out the Hebrew text. It was every part of their life. Their yoke of teaching was how they existed. And if they invited a disciple to come follow them, they were saying, "You have what it takes. I believe that you can take my yoke of teaching, my yoke of Torah, and live it out the way I do." You see, when you were a disciple of a rabbi, you did everything your rabbi did because you wanted to be your rabbi. Remember what they would ask? They would say, "Can I be like you?" They wanted to be like him. I've read books where they talk about the disciples, they wanted to walk like their rabbi, talk like their rabbi, do every single thing their rabbi did. When we sit at the feet of rabbi, it's not just this, "Let me learn and get it all up here." It was this active learning. You were completely immersed in your rabbi's teaching, learning everything you absolutely could in hopes that one day, you would be an extension of your rabbi. So when we look at verse 29, and it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That yoke is the yoke of our rabbi Jesus' teaching. He's inviting us to understand his word and be immersed in it and actively learn it, which means actively living it out. You see, when Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," he's inviting us to be his disciple. He thinks you have what it takes to actively learn and live it out and to teach others. When we are a disciple, he's also inviting us because he stated who he is. He's humble, and he calls us into this life of humility, of being life learners, not being arrogant, not thinking we have arrived, not thinking we have it all together, because if anything, 2020 has shown us we don't know it all. But he's inviting us to come and learn. And then he gives us this gift. When we learn from him, it's not burdensome. There's rest in it. So let's read it just one more time in fullness. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For here's yoke. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. So who does Jesus invite to follow him? All of us. Our Rabbi Jesus calls us to take his yoke of teaching and learn from him. You see, our Rabbi is humble, and he's gentle, and he calls us to find rest in him. Our Rabbi's yoke of teaching is easy, and his burden is light. See, God loves us. God loves you. And he made you. He knows all about you. You're made in his image. And he calls us to take his yoke of teaching and learn. So may we take the posture of a humble life learner and follow our Rabbi Jesus' every move. You see, when we're leading, we're following Jesus as we lead. And what amazes me is that Jesus invites us into this place to influence the world in which we live through our actions, our words, our attitude. It's all to be a reflection of who he is. You see, leading while following Jesus, if you are a mom or a dad, you are leading. You are leading if you are a grandparent, a cousin, an aunt, or an uncle. You are leading. You are leading when you are on a sports team and how you treat your teammates, how you treat your coaches, you are leading. You are leading when you deeply care about the world's hurts and you really want to actively figure out how to go about bringing healing. You are leading. You are leading when you come along someone who has chosen the road of sobriety. You are leading. You are leading when you are a shoulder to cry on when someone is deeply grieving the loss of something. You are leading. You are leading when you are an introvert. Some of the best leaders I know are introverts. You are leading when you are an extrovert. You are leading when you follow Jesus. The question is not if you're leading. The question is, how are you leading? May we be committed to being humble life learners as we lead while following Jesus. Now, practically, I'm really about practicality. How does this look in our lives? How do we take this and go, all right, Jesus, what does this yoke of teaching mean? And I would like to suggest that we understand who our rabbi is by getting into his word. It's not boring. It can be kind of hard to understand at times. I'll give you that, because it is. And it can have some crazy stuff in it. But this is God's story, and God wants us to know who he is. I think that he has given us this amazing gift to know him. And so my challenge is why don't we take time to get into his word, get to know him? Maybe this Jesus thing is new to you and you're like, you know what? This Bible intimidates me. I'm overwhelmed by it. So here are just two suggestions. I even fight giving suggestions because I really believe that God's going to show you what he wants to teach you. But here are two suggestions. Psalm 119, it's a really long psalm, but the psalmist spends verse after verse after verse explaining how much he loves God's word. It gets you excited about God's word. If you're trying to figure out who who is Jesus, I'd like to point you to the book that goes after Matthew, and that's the book of Mark. It's short, but it gives a great understanding of who Jesus is, his life, what he did on this earth, what he did on the cross for us, and how he rose again. Those are just two suggestions. Here's the thing. No matter where we're at on the journey, just begin. If you find something that you're reading, you're like, what on earth is going on here? Find someone to ask a question to. One of my favorite things is when a student comes up to me and says, hey, Jen, I got a question for you. I was reading this in the Bible. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good question. And I say, I don't know. You know why I like saying I don't know? Because we got to figure it out together. You see, there's so many resources out there, so many apps. Just let's get started. Maybe you've been a follower of Jesus for days, for decades, for a long time. But no matter where you're at, let's commit to make space in our life for Jesus, for him to teach us. We're never going to arrive. We're never going to have it figured out. Our whole life should be about actively learning, being that life learner. Let us sit on that short brick ledge, open our Bibles, and say, what do you want to teach me, God? I'm ready to learn. You see, Jesus' yoke is not complicated, so we have to remember that. A lot of times when we get stopped because we're like, oh, this is too complicated, I can't do it. Remember, he says it's not complicated, it's not burdensome. His way gives us rest for our souls and helps us remember that we, if we have chosen to follow Jesus, we are about something bigger than ourselves. We're about his kingdom purposes. And if we are going to live out his kingdom purposes, we have to know who he is, what he has done, who we are in Jesus, and how he wants us to live. Some of you today have chosen to be a disciple of Jesus. You've made that decision in your life. And some of you, Jesus, the idea of Jesus and what you've been learning, maybe you just joined us watching, you know, since the pandemic and watching us online. And you're trying to figure this out. You're trying to understand. But you haven't made a decision to be a disciple of Jesus as yet. But you know he is real. And you believe, like what Rick said last week, that he is God's son. He came and lived this life perfectly and died on the cross for our sins. You believe that. You just haven't made the decision formally to be his follower. I'm going to pray in a moment. And if there's something that rings true to you and you're like, it's time for me to say yes to being his disciple, you can pray alongside of me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for being a loving, humble, good God, that your yoke of teaching isn't complicated. Thank you for the invitation that you invite us to come. Lord, we believe that you are real. God, that you love us, that you made us, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, to show us what does it mean to be a leader, and that your son died on the cross for our sins. We believe that, Lord. And Lord, even though I don't have it figured out and I don't know all the things of your word, Lord, I want to choose today to be your disciple. I want to say yes to you. I want to surrender my life to who you are so that when I walk each day, I'm about something bigger than myself. That I know that I'm not alone, that you're with me, you care about me, you love me, and you don't promise a perfect future, but you promise to remain with me. Lord, I choose today to be your disciple. I choose to give it all to you today. Lord, I thank you that you are so good that you invite us into this space of leading, that you have work for each one of us to do and for your kingdom purposes. Thank you for trusting us, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to influence the world around us. May we do it as humble life learners of you. In your name, amen. Rabbi Jesus says, come. He says, take my yoke. Take my yoke of learning. You see, he believes you have what it takes to be his disciple.